skip account.
Yep.
Well, I guess at least this one took.
I guess.
I was trying to find out if you still had Discord installed from when we tried it last year. Because they've updated the program and stuff since then. I thought maybe we could try that one again. Or there's always the, what's that other thing called? Slack or whatever.
Slack, yeah.
Something like that, yeah. So.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. It's a little noisy over there, but I understand the heater's running.
The heater hasn't stopped running. It's our heater's fucked up.
Well, at least you're not freezing.
Yeah, I guess.
Things can always be worse. And if you were freezing, I'd say, hey, at least you're not being eaten by a wampa. Wampa? What was the ice monster? Was that a wampa?
It was a wampa.
Okay. I could not remember if I was right. Anyway. So, welcome to week 697 of the Crankcast. It's a very cold and noisy week of the Crankcast. It was cold here, too. Really windy yesterday.
Yeah?
Did not like it. And I think I've got a cold or something. But, anyway.
Sorry.
It's okay. I, lost my train of thought there for a second. Sorry.
Yeah, Skype crap was annoying. I almost quit the show. Because yeah. I was like, oh, Skype's never going to work again.
And I don't understand why it didn't like...
Hey, you know what? There's a good chance that once I close Skype today, it won't open again. And I'll have to start another account.
So you'll just be on the ever-revolving Skype account.
Yeah. For some reason, when I try to put in the username and the password, it says those don't work.
Did you try it from home, too? I wonder if it's just something on your computer.
I didn't try it at home.
Like, if something weird happened with your, I don't know, does Mac have weird security settings or something?
No.
Oh. I don't know. Maybe your Skype app is screwed up. I don't know. There was something I was going to tell you about. Oh, okay, yeah. Here's a useless piece of trivia. Did you know that Heart did not make it into the top 5 music single stuff in England until Alone in the 80s?
No, I did not, but it does not surprise me.
Well, it surprised me. I mean, considering how many, like, other hits they had before that.
What did you say had before that? Like, top 5 hits?
Well, they had some pretty big hits in the U.S. I mean, Barracuda was...
Barracuda?
Probably
right?
Top 5. Crazy on You? That was probably at least top 10, if not top 5.
Probably, but have you checked?
No, I haven't.
I don't think they were, buddy.
No.
But I'm saying, you know, they had a lot of good material out for, like, the 10 years prior to when Alone was put
check
out.
And see, check and see where those two ended up.
Yeah, I don't think they're finished top 5.
Well, I don't know. My point is, though, is that they were working for, like, 10 years before they cracked the top 5. And they had a lot of albums out and a lot of, like, still radio hit singles, you know?
That's why most people didn't know who they were until they got that big frizzy hair.
That's weird, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how I knew who they were. I didn't know what the fuck Barracuda was until, you know, everybody... I didn't know who they were until I saw them on MTV.
I didn't know Barracuda until Charlie's Angels.
What? Charlie's Angels?
Yeah.
It was on Charlie's Angels?
The movie with Drew Barrymore and... can't think of the other ones.
So you had never heard Barracuda until the 90s?
Yeah.
Early 2000s, whatever?
Yeah, early 2000s, I think.
Wow. Okay. Well, maybe I'm just overestimating the importance of that material.
I think that's probably what it is. I mean, that's not... I'm not saying you're dumb for it. I'm saying that you like it more than you think most people do.
In Canada, it's it peaked at number 2 in the weekly charts. But nowhere else did it do better than... Oh, South Africa hit number 1. U.S., it peaked at 11.
Huh. All right, then.
See, baby.
Baby Lestrange?
Sure.
See what I did there? That's a Heart album.
No, I didn't know that because nobody fucking cares about Heart.
Well, that album actually made it to number 5 in the U.S. as an album.
Did it?
Yeah, according to this peak chart positions thing.
Are you sure?
That's what it says.
Are you sure?
That's what it says.
Are you sure?
That's what it says. Anyway. Crazy on You never made it past 35. I thought that one was a lot bigger than that.
See, this is why people need to look. I'm not calling you out, but I'm saying
but
this
you
is
are. Where people.
No, I'm not really. I'm saying this is an example of why people need to look at facts, though, because people are always saying, I feel like this would be this. And it's like, no, you need to check and see, because I know it feels like it, but it's wrong. And that's what everybody does now.
Wow. These
so Heart's eponymous album was like the 8th album they released or something.
Say what?
Their eponymous one? Like their self-titled?
Yeah, the one in 84 or 5 or whatever.
Something like that. But that was like, so they, I kind of always thought that was like their first.
Well, I could see that. But
they've been doing like 7, 8 albums before that.
I mean, to be honest, that's probably the first Heart I remember hearing because I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to music prior to, say, 84 or 5 or 83, 84 probably. Like whenever Purple Rain came out, that's when I remember like actually paying attention to music because I had that album and I had Wham on 45. So, like, I remember paying attention to that and Twisted Sister.
You did the Jitterbug.
Yeah. And Twisted Sister, because I remember buying that cassette. And the Ghostbusters soundtrack. All that was 84, I think.
Yeah. What was Heartbeat City? That was, like, when I started. Heartbeat City and Different Light were my two big introductions to music.
Heartbeat City was probably between 83 and 85, I would think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I don't really know, though. That was one of their later singles. Very, very heavy Ocasic-y, I think. But, yeah, so, I mean, probably that album right around there was probably what I first remember hearing Heart. But, you know, once I actually started paying attention to music and playing music, then I started getting into the older Heart. Because I just figured that Heart in the mid-80s was just another hair metal band, you know? But it turned out they were like rockers instead. Yeah. But yeah, it was like 10 years between their first album and that. And that's when they started getting number one hits, when they started getting other people to write their material.
I'm going to write your material.
Write it straight to hell!
Huh.
What?
I'm just looking at all these songs that actually got pretty big, like... in the 80s there. Like, I had forgotten, I was watching a whole bunch of Heart videos the other day. That's why I knew this, because I started reading Wikipedia stuff. Mm-hmm. But, I had forgotten they did that song Never, but that was all over the radio, and that was actually...
Yes.
That actually charted higher than What About Love, which is, I did remember them doing. Huh. And These Dreams, I remember hearing that fucking song on the radio all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that video.
Oh, Alone wasn't until 87. Wow.
Alone?
Okay. Weird. Huh. All right, then. Sorry. I'll quit talking about Heart, then. I guess I was trying to be inspirational by bringing that up, though. I was going to say, no matter how you feel about your career, look how long it took Hart to get a number, you know, crack the top five, to get a number one.
Well, look at Leslie Nielsen.
I'd rather
That's
not.
My favorite inspirational.
Leslie Nielsen just never should have tried to do dramatic acting, really. I mean,
well, it's
that's all he
did.
Was known for. He was a super dramatic actor guy.
He's a fucking rapist in Day of the Animals.
Yeah, I just saw that recently.
Oh, God. I was like, I've never felt so skeeved out by Leslie Nielsen before.
He goes crazy and turns into a rapist.
He's just like, yeah, I'm wild now.
All right, hot shot.
Played all the characters that they got him to lampoon in, like Police Squad and Airplane, and that's why they cast him. And it's just they didn't expect that he would also have really phenomenal comedic timing, and he became a star at like, what was he, 50 something, late 50s?
Probably.
Yeah. And you always hear stories about like writers that don't actually do their first published work until they're like 40s and 50s and stuff. You know,
there's a famous thing that goes around on social media all the time about how Jack Kirby didn't create the Fantastic Four until he was 44 years old.
Yeah, but he had already been working on comics.
But they leave out the fact that he was a very successful comic book artist all the way up until then.
Yeah, I mean, Kirby had been working He'd been working in comics since the 40s.
With a pit stop working in the army killing Nazis for a while.
Right. Oh, which reminds me, I'm still reading, I'm further along in that book about comics I was reading. Turns out I misstated myself. I thought I saw Scott McCloud referencing this book, and he may have in his second book, but he couldn't have in his first book because Understanding Comics was published before this was even written. So just to clarify something I misstated last time I talked about it. But yeah, he was actually
talking about shit you don't know anything about.
Well, if I did that, I would never talk at all.
That's a good point.
But yeah, so in actually part of what I was reading, he was going over like, you know, Kirby's history and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, Kirby had been working in comics for 20 years by the time he did Fantastic Four, you know, 20 plus years, I guess, actually. But yeah, I was just trying to be inspirational, you know. If you feel like you're kind of at a plateau or something, just keep at it. Persistence is important.
I definitely feel like that.
Well, just remain persistent, man.
That's my only skill, is persistence.
And what do they call that? Tenaciousness. You're
being able to draw.
It's less and less every day.
And
you are a tenacious Mike.
I'm a tenacious Mike.
So, anyway, now that I've done my part to inspire people for the week, I suppose. Just one more thing about Heart. Something I never actually realized is that technically they were a Canadian band.
What? They're Canadian?
Well, they were Canadian. They were in Vancouver.
That explains why they reached so high in the Canadian rankings.
Yeah.
Hometown pride.
I mean, the Wilsons weren't from Canada. They moved up there, and they were in this band, and the band started out in Canada, I guess, in Vancouver, and started putting out their first albums in Vancouver. But, yeah. Technically, I guess. Canadian. No-Americans, or you might call them, I suppose.
I do call them No-Americans.
Yeah.
But,
oh, okay, wait a minute. Hold on, sorry. The band actually, in the 60s, was formed in Seattle. And then at some point in the early 70s, they moved up to Vancouver, and that's when they started releasing albums.
You're Canadian on a technicality.
Well, considering that they actually started their actual recording career in Canada, wouldn't that be Canadian?
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know if even Canadians in Vancouver consider themselves Canadian.
They were U.S. expatriates, I guess, right? U.S. citizens living in Canada. I don't think they were Canadian citizens, so I guess they are still American.
Right? They lived across the river. I mean, it was just a body of water.
Wikipedia does list them as an American rock band, so we all know how perfectly accurate Wikipedia is at all times. So, okay, we'll call them American. Oh, dear. Anyway. I felt like I interrupted something. What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, that is some jamming piano playing going on.
It's not a person, it's a recording.
Oh. It's like some rapid ivory tinkling. Tickling? Sorry, ivory tickling.
I knew you were into that ivory tickling, tingling.
It gives me that tingle feeling, you know. So I just saw the Riff Tracks Day of the Animals like last week or over the weekend.
Yeah, it's okay. I hate saying it, but the Riff Tracks have gone down in quality.
Is that a newer one?
It came out last year.
Oh, okay. It's hard to tell with Amazon because they keep. It seems like their dates are always right.
When you get the Amazons, they come out. They don't come out when they come out. Like I get the newsletter, so I go and get them as soon as they come out, which is a mistake because almost guaranteed the next week there'll be a sale.
Oh, so I just need to wait for you to buy some, and then I can go ahead and buy them the next week.
We've already established that is always the way to go.
I know that was the way it used to be with Apple products for and you.
It used to be. That's why I stopped buying them as soon as they came out.
Yeah, but you're only hurting the rest of us, Mike.
I like hurting you.
Aw. Happy Valentine's Day.
You know what? I bought Julie flowers because I buy her flowers like every other week or every 2 weeks anyway. And luckily I bought her some like 2 days ago because I got up this morning and what did I see? I saw something. There's an ad for some kind of Valentine's Day. I saw somebody on Facebook posting what they were doing for Valentine's Day. And I walked out to the kitchen and I go like, did you know it's Valentine's Day? And she's like, I did, like, but I didn't wake up knowing it.
The only reason I knew it was because I saw it in an email this morning. Or that's the only way I remember today was actually Valentine's Day.
We already
don't have a lot of reason to. We
went to an island, so.
Oh, yeah, right. Vacation. I saw, like, you know, they do those ones with guests instead of the full Riff Tracks crew or whatever.
Some of those are funny, some of them aren't.
Yeah, I watched this one with the Fred Willard and it just wasn't very funny.
Yeah. I kind of like that one. What? Which one was that? Mike's just doing them by himself.
So. Oh.
He started Riff Tracks just doing them by himself.
Yeah, but I figured this was an older one because it's got the thing at the beginning where it was just an audio track, like from back when they used to do them separate.
Yeah.
Because I remember them doing that as audio tracks, and then they'd sell the MP3s and you'd watch them along with your own copy of the movie.
They still do that.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they've done the new Star Wars movies like that, and they do some like HBO series like that. Like they've done some Game of Thrones episodes and.
I guess that helps get them around having to license the movie.
That's why they do that, yeah. Because you and I can do commentary tracks. Everybody does that.
Right. So, but yeah.
Red Letter Media does that. Other podcasts do that.
I
didn't realize how many Red Letter Media actually have.
Which one's Red Letter Media?
They're the ones that are like they do the best of the worst that I like.
Oh.
They're funny, but they kind of cater to the angry fanboy kind of audience.
Oh, that doesn't.
The one they can't really a lot of their fans don't really understand that they're making fun of them a lot of the time. So.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too fun.
Yeah, it's kind of crappy. They just put out a video that I think they're making fun of, like, 40-year-old men that tear up Star Wars action figures.
Is that a thing? But,
yeah, but but I think that people like it because they think that they're for real.
Oh. Oh, fandom, why are you like you are?
Yeah, it's pretty depressing, right? I think that's one of the reasons why I've been kind of depressed.
I don't get it. I mean...
Well, that's part of the existentialism on my part, is like, I don't get it anymore, and somebody must be getting it, so maybe I don't have a place anymore.
I can't... The last time I remember feeling that wrapped up or upset about something I liked... was like when I was a teenager and I didn't know any better.
That's when it is when you're a teenager.
Because, you know, I remember being kind of upset about that with, like, Metallica when they went rock instead of metal. You know? Felt like,
yeah,
they were...
that's exactly what it is. It's that attitude. It's like when you're...
felt like they were selling us out, you know?
In the metal crowd that I was in when I was in high school is like... rap isn't really music, you know?
Yeah.
And if you listen to rap, there's something wrong with you.
We didn't have that going on because we had, like, you know, Anthrax doing I'm the Man and stuff, so we were pretty accepting of rap.
Yeah.
In fact, I used to listen to, like, Digital Underground and stuff.
Oh, well, I mean...
And Beastie Boys.
In the house.
Don't forget Beastie Boys. But and NWA was popular amongst the metal kids too, or at least around here. I don't know. Oh, and don't forget Run DMC. Yeah, can't forget them. Anyway, sorry, but yeah, we're talking about the same thing though. Yeah, it's that kind of weird over emotional teenage response to something. But I mean, how does that even carry over into your 20s, much less your 40s? You know.
It's called Arrested Development.
Well, there's got to be more to
made
it.
Made a show about it.
There's got to be more to it than just that, because it's such a widespread thing. There's so many of them, you know? At least I guess there's so many of them. I don't know.
You're overestimating the numbers.
There seems to be enough of them that it causes a problem every other week.
Well.
And it doesn't seem like it's the same people doing the same stuff over and over.
It's a problem on the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, think of half the people that you meet just day to day.
That's easy. I don't meet anybody day to day.
I mean, I don't think, like, half of the people in your life, I don't think that you feel comfortable calling, like, quote unquote, mature, right? Like, no. I think most people don't grow up.
I mean, most of the actual people in my life, I would feel pretty comfortable calling them mature. Yeah.
That's because you only talk to your mom and dad.
They're pretty mature.
Yeah.
I talk to you. You're mature.
That's not true.
You're mature-ish.
He has mature themes.
I have mature themes.
Yeah.
If I'm constantly amazed by looking at actors on TV and realizing that they're way younger than me, I'm not mature.
How did that happen? That kind of thing?
No, it's just like I always just think everybody on TV is older than me.
Are we older than the people in Seinfeld? How old were they?
No, they're much older than us. They're at least 10 years older than us.
Well, now, but the time, he means relatively. Like,
Were they supposed to be in their 30s or 40s?
Oh, at the end, they were in their 40s. Sure. But they were supposed to be in their 30s when the show was on. The show was on for like 15 years, though.
Right. Wow. We're as old as the Seinfeld cast was at the end of the show?
Maybe. Yeah. Sounds about right.
That's creepy.
Fucking working for the Yankees? I'm not working for the Yankees. I failed.
Do you want to work for the Yankees? Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'll be the assistant to the traveling secretary. It didn't sound like George ever had to do anything.
In fact, he avoided doing stuff quite a lot.
A person I went to high school with is the traveling secretary for the Detroit Tigers. But I don't know who his assistant is. But I can't imagine the assistant to a traveling secretary makes any money.
Do they have to... I mean, they get their traveling in for free, right?
Yeah, well, they just book all the flights and hotels and for every single player for every single game and to and from the ballpark. It sounds like a pretty complicated job.
Logistics. A lot of logistics.
Yeah.
Ins and outs.
Maybe they do need an assistant.
So, wait, do the traveling secretaries not actually travel?
No, I don't think they travel with the team.
Well, that's a misnomer. The
secretaries of travel, not traveling secretaries.
Yeah, that's a misnomer then.
Yeah, they sit there and they figure out what hotels players are staying in and when and how they get to and from the ballpark. And
I never would have got that from watching Seinfeld because George never did any of that.
Yeah, George doesn't do anything. Well, he's the assistant, right? Is it Mr. Wilhelm's the traveling secretary? So
You paid a lot more attention to Seinfeld.
Oh, I love Seinfeld.
Yeah, I forgot he was actually worked for the ball team. I remembered him working in that office where he refused to quit.
I didn't know what his job was there.
Me neither. He set up an office in the bathroom or something like that.
That was at the Play Now, where he gets fucked up at the end of season 8 by slipping on invitations that he leaves on the stairs. So he has like a second mishap with invitations in his life. And then season 8 ends with him being like in rehab and not able to walk. And then season 9 starts with him walking with a cane. And then he gets a job at playing out sports or something because they think he's disabled. And so he like leans into that so he can get his own handicap bathroom. That's what the storyline. And then they find out, and then he refuses to quit. And so they lock him out of his bathroom, and he climbs through the vents to get into his bathroom, or his office, I guess. I don't know. It's strange. It's season 9 Seinfeld, so it's really strange, and not anything that's happened in real life.
You remember all this really well.
I really like Seinfeld a lot.
All right.
So it's inconsistent on how old they are because their ages are constantly set as different things, like inconsistently throughout the years.
Well, Michael Richards is clearly older than everyone else.
Yeah, he's supposed to be at least in his 40s.
At the beginning or the end?
Like all the way through.
Yeah, I can see that.
Jerry is supposed to be like early 30s, and I guess George is too, but in real life, George is like 5 years younger than Jerry.
Yeah, well, they went to the same high school in the same year. So.
Yeah, so they're like about the same age. And then Julia was 29 when the show started, but they're guessing she's supposed to be like around the same at that age, like late 20s.
I'm betting everyone was just their current age except for George and Jerry because they'd have to be the same age.
Yeah. Jerry's 36.
When it starts?
That's how old he was when the show started. Like, not the character, but...
Alright, well, I'm just a little past due for my sitcom.
La 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 la.
Oh no. You don't need to hear it twice.
That's So do you tear up your Seinfeld figures when they change stuff or?
No, I stopped being a fan of most anything I was a fan of a while ago.
Oh, okay.
So I'm still a fan of creators. That's what I've become more a fan of. Like
the band Creators?
No.
Oh.
Like I don't.
Nobody's a fan of Creators.
I don't care about Star Wars stuff. I don't care about a lot of stuff that I used to really like. But still care about, like, filmmakers and comic book creators that I like.
So you like the creators, you just don't like the things they put out?
I guess I just watched and read too much shit because it had a character that I liked in it.
Oh, sure.
Or was
yeah.
pretty I like. And I just decided I didn't want to do that anymore because I was just watching a lot of movies that were really soul-crushingly boring and bad.
Yeah, so I stuck with a lot of comic series.
Creators instead.
Yeah, I stuck with a lot of comic series like that for no good reason. Like, just because I wanted to be loyal to the character or whatever.
I don't know. I don't know if it makes me a grump or not, but...
A grump?
It's weird to not, like, be a super nerd for things the way that I used to be.
Well, I don't know... I mean, nerd didn't necessarily go hand-in-hand with being overly obsessive about stuff, like, back... a while back, you know?
That's yeah. true. Nerd is not necessarily fan.
Right.
I mean, you know, you were a nerd because of the stuff you liked, not how obsessively you liked it. Like.
Yeah, but... and maybe it's from getting more exposure to the creative side of professional work that kind of demystifies it for me. But, you know... A person that waited in line till midnight for the release of Phantom Menace toys at Toys R Us, stayed overnight and slept in a sleeping bag waiting in line for Phantom Menace tickets. And that was nothing I would do for anything, ever.
Yeah, I bet you're looking back on that and regretting it.
No, it's funny. I love that I did that, but
I was just making a
never do that for anything ever again.
I was just making a joke because it was Phantom Menace. Yeah.
Sure.
The best of those three movies.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. I do think it is.
It's the Star Wars of those three
yeah,
movies.
It is. Yeah.
Wait, which one's Phantom Menace?
The first one.
Oh, the first one. Okay.
You got it, Jen.
I don't know. I still like the space battle at the beginning of the third one. I thought that was alright.
They all have set pieces that are new.
There's like no drama to that. Like they just like kind of puss their way through.
Yeah, but it's kind of big and expansive. I mean, it was pretty.
If you watch it next to Jedi, it still feels small.
Huh. I've only ever seen it twice. Once back in when it was fairly recent, and then when I went and decided to watch them all a couple years ago.
Clone Wars is definitely the worst. Clone Wars is just a really painful experience.
Attack of the Clones is what you mean.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't Clone Wars? Clone Wars was pretty good. Wasn't it?
But it has the best space scene in it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it has the best line in the I Hate Sand line.
Because that... It has that Obi-Wan Jango Fett space fight.
Oh, yeah.
And that one's really good.
Space fight?
Yeah, they're like flying around.
The one with the sonic mines in it.
Yeah. It's really good.
I don't even remember that happening.
Which one has the weird lizard thing?
That's the third one.
Because that's great.
What weird lizard thing?
That Obi-Wan rides?
The lizard he rides? It's like
so weird. It is the noisiest fucking lizard for him to sneak around in.
I love how stupid it is. I came all the way around on it. At first I was like, this is stupid. Now I love it.
It's so loud and annoying, and he's trying to sneak around.
No, he's not trying to sneak around. He's trying to just catch that dude. He's beyond sneaking at that point.
He's sneaking around the base first in it. And then he has to go after General Grievous in it.
Yeah.
But he is sneaking around in the base with it, and it's enormous and loud and terrible.
Which is the one where all the Jedi decide to make their last stand in a literal coliseum.
That's the second
one. That's the second.
That was bad.
It's not really a last stand, it's just them slaughtering a million people. It's just Jedi murder.
It's just Jedi murder. Hey. It is funny because, like, you know, I mean, when I Because I'd never seen the second one at all, and I hadn't seen the first one, except for like bits and pieces, and then I saw like the first half of the third one. So I never saw them all complete until I watched them all in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird how, I mean, they're not, I don't know. That's still something, that set of movies are where I question myself about, is this actually bad, or do I not like it because it's not what I wanted, kind of thing? And like,
well, that's a good question, because it's both. There's a lot of elements in there.
That was the first time I actually remember asking myself that kind of question, though. Like, is this bad, or do I just not like it because it's not what I wanted, you know?
Like, so do you feel directly like Lucas responding to one and being like, oh, they want all this other shit. So you get a crazy-ass Yoda doing, like, flips and shit.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's stuff that's not... I still don't understand, like... Because even in interviews, he was claiming up and down that these are children's movies, right? But...
They're still sort of. I mean, they're very immature.
They're like the stupidest political dramas.
But that's the thing. They're so... Like, what kid cares about what's going on in a Senate? You know? Like, how does he think that's a children's movie?
I feel like you can have one scene in the Senate, but not, like, four.
It's like, yeah, I mean, a kid's not going to sit there cheering for, like, political intrigue. Like,
was Mace Windu being thrown out a window, was that a visual joke, or is that just a coincidence?
His name's not Window.
No, it's Windu. And he's thrown out a window.
Yeah, I think only people that live in the world of puns thought that was funny.
I connected those.
There you go. Merry Christmas.
I thought it was a subtle trick because I really thought gadget administration was going to be fun to go that way. The weirdest part about that is, like, all the Jedi have done so many crazy things in those movies that him falling out that window, I'm like, he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah.
He falls a long way, though. Like, he shoots him across the city.
Yeah, just grab something on the way down.
Before. Anakin jumps out.
I get you. I hear you. I hear you. But what's he going to catch with? He's got one hand now.
Like, slow himself down on the wall.
Yeah, he can use a force push on the ground as he gets close to it, and it's going to slow him to a very...
We don't know he's dead.
Wait, do you need hands? You don't need hands to use the force, do you?
What?
You don't need hands to use the force, do you?
Absolutely not.
No.
He's the new villain in the new movie.
Oh.
He's the main guy.
Well, it would have been helpful if they had said he was Snoke.
But he changed his name to Mace Windows.
Mace Windows?
Oh, man, and he's Windows from the thing?
Yeah. Oh, and he's got a prosthetic hand, but it's just a lightsaber.
You guys are laughing like that's not something that they're probably going to do at some point. The fact that that hasn't happened yet is amazing.
Wait, this is related, but have you guys seen that fencer lady? The who has the prosthetic fencing hand?
No.
She's fucking awesome. Okay.
How does it mount? Does it come out straight out like a...
Yeah.
Like a pike?
Straight out.
That seems like that would really fuck up her form. Because, you know... Like, with a wrist, you tilt and parry and...
Well, she's probably not sabers. Sabers are the only ones you can hold upright. Hepes and foils you hold straight out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he actually...
Also, I think they do it... She does it in a wheelchair.
What?
Yeah, it's wheelchair fencing.
That's like frisbee golf.
No, it's not.
It's such a weird thing to say.
Not anything what you want frisbee golf is.
It's so funny. That's funny.
Yeah, I own frisbee golf discs. I've been playing since I was a kid, dude. I do know what frisbee golf is.
How is that?
How
expensive in a wheelchair like frisbee golf?
I was making a dumb joke, dude. That's all. I was disparaging something I like doing by making a joke out of it.
Frisbee with fencing would be awesome.
Like, oh, where you gotta defend the net.
With a foil?
Yeah, full contact frisbee golf.
Yeah, some sort of sword.
That seems like that'd be pretty easy, though.
To what?
To knock down a frisbee with a sword.
Not if the frisbee is the size of a dime.
Wait. How are you going to throw that? How's it gonna travel?
You got a gun that shoots it.
Okay, so now, you're talking disc guns versus swords.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like those little toy disc guns. Do they still make those? I used to have a couple of those when I was a kid.
Zebra guns? I doubt that. Well, somebody's making them.
Yeah, but they're probably like...
They aren't sold in this country.
Those things were really cool, man. It was like having tiny little frisbees in a gun.
I remember I sawed mine off and covered it in black electrical tape.
Were you playing Mafia?
No, I just, I don't know.
In high school, playing Mafia was the most uncomfortable I've ever been in the real world.
What? What'd you say?
Said, in high school, playing Mafia was the most uncomfortable I've ever been in the real world.
I guess so.
I would too, because you're essentially...
It was...
You're a fucking nerd.
So all these... you sign up.
Wait, so you'd like LARP? Like you were in the
It's
mob?
LARPing. It is LARPing.
Yeah, but you put
it's
on, like,
LARPing and tag at the same
yeah,
time.
It's LARPing hits. And so people would put on hits on people and you'd like find out where your friends were going and then you'd like ambush them at like a hardware store.
Whoa, jeez.
Well, this explains your death list.
No, it doesn't.
Gosh, that would be so awkward.
I forgot that this fucking that Mafia, that shit was a thing.
An innocent person watching this in the
90s, awesome, terrifying.
That wasn't a thing where, like, in the schools I was in.
Fuck, they made a movie about it, dude.
I remember that movie, the movie with the dark
tag,
guns?
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie with the, where he falls in love with the Russian
agent.
Beginning
of that shit, yeah.
Yeah. But we never did that in my schools. Like,
well, I definitely didn't do it with the gun.
No, definitely not.
You would set up fake bombs. That's something you couldn't do now.
Yeah.
I've told the story about coming home on Halloween in Nashville and seeing Sherrard in the parking lot of our apartment building spray painting a toy machine gun black, and he's wearing camouflage fatigues. And I said, Sherrard, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, I'm getting my costume ready. I was like, you are not going out as a black man in Nashville at night with a gun and camouflage fatigues.
Was he like a Rambo?
I didn't ask him what his costume was. I was just like, I don't want my friend to die.
So...
I mean, he still did it. I mean, you couldn't tell him what to do. But I don't know where he went. He was obviously not trick-or-treating. He was like 26 years old.
He probably was trick-or-treating.
He didn't say how old that kid was, did he?
Dark, he had a ray gun, looked real enough.
Oh, man.
I remember they called it a ray gun. That's like a
1960s
term.
They were, adults still called them ray guns back then.
It's a ray gun.
It was because of the
prison. I think pretty much called everything a laser when I was young. Everything was a laser gun. If it wasn't like a regular gun. Yeah.
From time to time, I put on these collections of 90s commercials and 80s commercials that are on YouTube. There's hundreds and hundreds of them.
Sure.
I find them to be very fun to watch, but the interesting thing watching them recently is realizing that every kid's commercial, the parents are depicted as being like 1950s parents. And that's like a common theme that, like, here are the lame parents, and it's like a man smoking a pipe and a woman with a beehive hairdo. Like, every 90s kid's commercial, the parents are depicted that way.
So that was a carryover from the 80s.
Well, yeah, it was in the 80s as well.
Yeah, because all the 80s were fascinated with the 50s.
But do you think that it's because you're the parent of a child and you're watching it and you see the parents being depicted as lame like your parents? And so you don't want to be like those parents, so you buy them the toy?
Well, it's probably a little bit of that, but also the people making those commercials, their parents were those parents from the 50s.
It's the marketing people.
Right.
They're the age.
Right, but wouldn't you think that you would say, what are lame parents like now?
No, because you just make whatever your old shit was. That's why, like, right now, everything's 90s shit again, because it's just, like, all those people who are rubbed out making 90s shit.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. So it's a fucking bubble tape ad, and it's, like, the parents are from 1951.
B-52s.
They're all B-52s.
They're just
B-52s. Yeah. There was some art department that was huge in the B-52s, and they worked on a lot of commercials.
See, I'm having trouble actually remembering it being like that. I'm not saying it wasn't. I just don't, like, actually... I think it's something I must not have noticed or something.
Well, there's a lot of things that I didn't notice, and there's a lot of stuff that... Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to really notice it.
Well, it hadn't really occurred to me until I was watching the other day.
You probably remember it a lot differently, too.
Also, just like...
I guess it was so...
How prevalent, like, Leave It to Beaver still was.
Mm-hmm. That was the remake time. That was when they were doing...
Oh, yeah.
There was a remake and there was a sequel.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I grew up where... One of our main TVs was black and white. I watched black and white television for most of my youth.
Oh, yeah. I had a TV in my room when I was a kid, but that was just because it was the old black and white that had been sitting around. Like, nobody else wanted to use it.
Yeah, he had like a sloth situation at his house where he was in the basement.
They kept me.
Watch old Captain Scarlet episodes.
Yeah.
I think James Lucas Jones, who was like, kids know what a heavy Haskell is anymore?
Oh.
Awesome.
Gee, Mrs. Cleaver, I don't know.
Yeah. I had a total Eddie Haskell friend growing up.
Oh, I did too. He got me in a lot of fucking trouble.
He'd say shit like that to my mom all the time.
Well, Jason Bateman was essentially Eddie Haskell in Silver Spoons.
He was up a notch, though.
He was definitely more modernly smarmy, but he was that same kind of character. I mean, pretty much he was the same. Every time, like, Rick's dad would walk in, he turned into, the nice guy. Like,
wait, was Eddie Haskell an asshole?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the thing about Eddie Haskell.
Yeah, he's, like, super
It's like, I don't know why somebody didn't... Why was fucking Wally friends with that guy?
They never really explained that. Like, because Eddie never did anything for Wally.
Yeah, you do. It's true. But that guy is like, I eventually was like, I'm not talking to Harry Lane anymore. That guy's an asshole.
You gotta have one of those growing up, because they make you do shit that you wouldn't normally do.
Yeah.
It'd be different if it's, like, if he made you do shit that worked out, but, like, Eddie Haskell was just, he'd bail on you and leave you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And everything he ever wanted to get into always wound up that way. Or at least, maybe they just never told us about the times he was successful.
Harold Edward Lane III.
Sean, my computer wouldn't start.
Hell.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
So whatever became of Harry Lane?
He works in Nashville still. I think he works for Boy Scouts of America.
Oh. So is he still an asshole?
I saw him at my mom's funeral. He still has the Harry Lane vibe. He's very much of a used car salesman when he talks to you.
Oh well. Maybe it's just something some people are born with, right?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, because you can learn how to be a used car salesman, but probably the best ones are the ones that are born that way. Or something. I don't know.
No, you gotta have it. There's a certain talent to being a used car salesman.
I have never been very good at being a salesman of any kind.
There's something here. There's a thing that great salespeople have that is a quality that I don't appreciate in people.
Complete lack of self-awareness?
It's not that. They are very self-aware.
Oh.
There's a need to get something over on somebody else.
Oh, you mean they're actively just trying to screw people?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So is that what it is, really? I always just figured it was like a lack of inhibition or something. Like.
Well, that's part of it.
I didn't think it was like an actual need.
Well, I mean, it all comes to from you thinking you're smarter than everybody else.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess that would help, huh?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think back, like, on all the jobs I've worked, which I haven't been very many because I'm not good at being a salesperson, but where I've tried to work jobs where you're supposed to be that kind of salesperson or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always terrible at them.
What's the worst job you've ever had, Crank?
The worst job?
Yeah, lettering job, but non-comics job.
I mean, you know, I've never really had, like, terrible, terrible jobs that were, like, those kind that you would tell people about, like, where I had to clean out septic tanks or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Along those lines, the worst thing I did was I worked in the, you know, the back of a chicken shack. Not a chicken, you know, like a fried chicken fast food joint, like.
Yes.
And just having to deal with, like, the grease caked on your shoes and like, all the crap that gets stuck to your clothes and all that shit. Like, that was probably the worst job. I only lasted like a week there because I couldn't take it.
Yeah, it's a gross job.
But that was when I was still in high school when I had that job. So, I mean, I worked some like backbreaking work when I worked for a garden place. That was a lot of manual labor and heat involved and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just sort of a tough job, but I mean, it wasn't really horrible. I got to work with flowers and stuff, and that was nice. Yeah. Dude, flowers are pretty cool, man.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just not something I expect to hear come out of your mouth.
Oh. I totally expect that from him.
I mean, as far as the aesthetic of it, I liked working there, you know? Like, but it was really, really hard work, though. Of course, I was still a kid then, too. Like, that was weird because they had a... they were technically considered agricultural, so they didn't have to follow the same, like, child labor laws. And, so they... You know,
child labor laws are different depending on what category?
They were back in the 80s, I guess.
Okay.
Because he was able... He didn't have to pay minimum wage to children.
Oh.
At the time. So I was getting paid, like... it was under a buck and a half, like an hour.
I remember working for our school library for $3 an hour. That definitely wasn't minimum wage.
Yeah, well, maybe that's different, too.
Rules for children.
But, like, so, yeah, for whatever reason, he was able to hire kids under the age of whatever, because there's supposed to be, like, an age limit, too, to what you can hire kids to do or whatever. Yeah. And I was only, like, 11, I think, maybe, when I was working for the garden place. So, yeah, he was able to hire younger kids, and he was able to pay them really cheap, like, well under minimum wage. So, because I didn't make a whole lot of money, and it was really hard work. But, like I said, you know, at the time, I was making money, which was different than a lot of the kids I knew, you know, so... I thought it was kind of weird. I wasn't able, you know, I was getting kind of underpaid, but I was like, yeah, what the hell? It's money. I can go buy ninja stars and shit. I don't know, you know.
Ninja stars.
Yeah.
Actually, at that point, I was probably trying to buy music stuff, like. But, yeah, like that. Music stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, other than that, like I said, I've never really... I mean, what was your shittiest job, you know?
Well, I've had some shitty jobs as an adult, but shittiest job when I was younger, I had to work at when I was a sophomore in college. When I went home for the summer, I had to work at an ice cream store, like a knockoff kind of Dairy Queen kind of thing.
Yeah.
And because it was the only job that I could find, and all of my other coworkers were in high school, and it was really humiliating. It was really, really humiliating. And I read Starman. I read the entirety of Starman while I was working there.
Ah, cool.
My memory of it.
All right, that's the Robinson run, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Great.
Yeah, I really like the Robinson. Well, he was still doing it when I stopped reading comics for a long time. But what I read of that, I remember liking a lot. The Jack.
Why does Starman look like he's standing when he flies?
I mean, how would you look if you were flying for real in real life? I mean,
I just drew it. I'd probably just be screaming a lot. It's probably a lot more comfortable to stand up.
Yeah, I mean, if you just had the power to propel yourself.
I mean, Captain Marvel did it. Old Captain Marvel, he's just standing when he's flying.
Yeah.
There's a Superman ride at the Six Flags here, where it's a roller coaster that you're lying on your stomach.
Oh, where you have to lay down in it? Yeah.
Like face down looking at the ground.
And yeah, I don't fit in that ride, by the way.
Makes a roller coaster considerably more terrifying.
Yeah, I don't need roller coasters to be any more terrifying than they already are.
That is one of the... As a person that has a mild fear of heights, that was one of the more terrifying roller coasters I've ever been on. Also, it was kind of thrilling to feel like you were flying like Superman.
But I'm just thinking about, like, holding your legs and the abs up, like, physically.
I mean, I guess if...
You're bad, right?
I guess if you're Superman, you've got super strength, so you don't have to worry about core.
Yeah, but you're going so fast that your legs are just flying out behind you.
But that's the thing. Like I understand why Superman started flying like that, because he wasn't really flying in the beginning. He was jumping, so he was kind of hurtling himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
But once they changed it so that he was being self-propelled, like flight kind of thing, like why was he still flying like flat like that? Why wasn't he just... standing there and moving forward, you know? Like, he's Superman. It's not like air resistance is going to cause him problems. You know?
Just holding on to that cosmic rod, right?
Yeah, you have his staff.
So, yeah, when Starman flies, is he actually flying, or is he just holding on to the staff while the staff moves around?
He lets go of that muscle.
So he should ride it like a witch.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. He should ride
it like a witch. He should.
Or like...
Absolutely.
Yeah,
like we figured something out today.
So, I mean...
If you told me that I could grab a staff or a broom and it would make me fly as long as I held on, no fucking way. I use that thing. I would fall off a staff or broom instantaneously.
I think the Harry Potter ones are doable. Because they got little, like, foot...
Like a saddle.
Saddles and shit.
I guess.
Yeah, they have little places for your feet to go.
If we took a fucking broomstick and put it across two desks and then had you try and sit and balance on it, it wouldn't last very long.
That'd be a hell of a
if you sat sideways.
Yeah, it would also fuck your grundle real good.
That's why you sit sideways, like, with your legs. Both legs. Sideways.
But and also, you're not supposed to be sitting on the stick, you're supposed to be sitting on the brush, right?
No.
No, that's never the way they show it.
You're not supposed to sit on a brush.
No one sits on the brush.
There's no stability there. There's no holding you up.
If it's a flat broom.
Well, who rides on a flat broom, though? You never see people riding on...
Actually, a circle broom would be better, because that would make your butt a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to wedge that thing into between your cheeks.
Yeah, that's a cheek holder.
What is wrong with you people?
You know how people use those, vacation time water jet ski or jetpack things that blast them in the air with the force of the water shooting down.
Oh, sure.
And fucking wobble like crazy and fall on their faces all the time.
Yeah.
That's what it would be like if you tried to use a broom, but a lot harder, I think.
I mean, I'm trying to think. Okay, going back to Starman again, like the staff, does the staff help him hang on to it?
I don't know. I'm just going by the pictures I saw.
Because if you're just grabbing this thing with one hand and it's dragging you along through the air, I mean, you're only going to be able to hold on to that thing for so long, right? So,
when I get a chance to draw Starman, he's going to have the beefiest fucking shoulders. He's so unreasonable, and his hands are going to be like giant lobster claws.
On this cover, though, it is under him. He is sort of being, he's above it.
Yeah, there's some explanation needed for this mode of flight here. Because that's the thing about, okay, like a magic broom. If you are flying a magic broom, I mean, you would assume that something in the magic, like, helps keep you on the broom, right? Like,
The key word being magic.
Guys, this is technically broom style.
What is he doing?
See his legs?
He's not really straddling you.
Well, he's technically sort of straddling. This leg's in front of the broom. This is on the other side.
Mm-hmm. I could just see the model standing and carrying the pony above it.
Lift up your leg, real quick.
This is broom style.
This is broom style.
And this is broom style.
Hey, this is broom style.
This is brundle fly style.
That too. This is Starman, starring Jeff Bridges. Riding a broom.
Oh, hey guys, I'm Skyman. This guy's crazy looking.
Skyman?
Yeah, that costume is...
Skyman's awesome. Oh. He's from Infinity Inc.
He has those buff shoulders I was talking about. He does.
Skyman!
So, did original Starman, did he just, like, did that little, like, baton, did that make him fly?
Yeah. It's the cosmic rod.
The cosmic rod.
It's a cosmic rod.
I know it's called a cosmic rod, but that's such a...
They're all cosmic rods. They're related to each other. They're all related to each other.
He has a long rod. And the other guy's got a short rod.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Rod envy. That's part of the problem. Because what was there was another, the lady Starman.
Star Lady?
What was her name? She was after the Jack character, right? Or was that during his run where it switched over to her for a while?
I don't remember.
But I thought she had a different thing entirely. Like,
you know about Stars and Stripes?
Maybe I'm just misremembering it. Never mind.
Star Girl has the staff.
Is that what I'm thinking of?
Star Girl has a staff.
Wait, why is she Star Girl and not Star Woman?
I don't know.
15 or something. I don't know.
Women are only half as good as men? I don't know.
Oh. Well, that's no fun. So was Star Girl after the Robinson Starman run?
Was who?
Star Girl?
Isn't she a member of the JSA?
She was JSA, but so, only she.
Or is that only modern JSA?
I think that girl, she popped. She's a Geoff Johns creation, so she popped up after it.
Yeah.
So how'd she get the staff?
I don't know. Do I look like I read comic books?
So confusing. And what happened to?
I look.
You really. I look. Shirt.
I look exactly like somebody that reads comic books. Oh.
Guys, I finished penciling this incredibly large drawing with a million buildings. Now I think it.
Hey, did you know that Ryan's bragging again?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Just scan it and convert it to black. Oh shit, I should do that.
Ryan, why are you
bragging?
Because I can't use my computer right now because it won't start. And it's very frustrating to me.
Are you getting a little no entry sign?
No, I'm just getting a very slow status bar for it turning on.
Well, that's no good.
Yeah, it's no good.
I forgot Star Stargirl was in Smallville. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
Yeah.
All the JSA was.
Yeah, I forgot. She was the one that was like the youngest of the. She was the his age or whatever, Clark's age.
Stargirl's been on a lot of DC shows because Geoff Johns is in charge of those.
That makes sense. He's got a preference, right? So if he's in charge, he...
Preference, yeah.
Right, okay.
It's like Kirby being in all the Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Jack Kirby's in all the Smash Brothers, did you know that?
Say, Mike, do we have an email?
It's crazy. We never have to use a scanner.
I don't know.
Okay. In the meantime, I'll talk about... I'm going to rewatch Smallville again. What the hell?
Oh, God.
Fucking dickhead.
You don't want to hear about it? No?
John Amore writes... Hi, guys. Not sure if you keep in touch with Tom Cater's... I don't know if you keep in touch, but Tom Cater's announced recently that Around Comics is coming back.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to tell you about. I listened to part of the first episode.
Will you guys be crossing over again? I first discovered Mike's work when you guested back in Dark Tower. A lot of people did. I continue to love the show. I listen week to week. If you would, I'd appreciate a plug. Since Justin Jordan and I have been chugging away at this little series on Webtoon, it's called Urban Animal, and it's essentially a Buffy-esque treatment of Animal Man, and kids seem to be digging it. Love you guys. Take care. We've talked about Urban Animal before.
Have we? Well,
yep. Yeah. I told people, go to Webtoons and look up Urban Animal.
Okay. Well, now you've done it again.
I did not know Around Comics was coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody tells me anything.
Which is weird because, like, well, I mean, I guess it's not weird because we do it, but, you know, they're not, like, in the same city, any of them, anymore.
Well, Tom's here.
I thought Cater's moved to someplace else.
Oh, did he?
Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought he worked in advertising here.
Niesman's in Milwaukee. And then, okay, and Sal's still in Chicago. So I guess two of them still are in Chicago.
I haven't seen Sal in years.
The last time I saw him was at convention, but that was a couple years ago. So.
No, I did not know they were getting back together again. They did not tell me.
See if Mike will do it.
They
what? What am I doing?
Will you scan this for me?
Yeah, computer. Sure.
My computer won't start.
Man, don't enable him like that.
Don't enable who?
I don't know. I'm just...
You know, this is a page you're going to be lettering. The sooner I get it scanned, the sooner you can do your job and we'll all be happy.
Yeah, hop to it, Mike. But, yeah, I didn't listen very much. I just wanted to hear their voices again because it was kind of...
Oh,
nice.
So they've done shows already.
They've released one, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I did not know about it.
And it's still aroundcomics.com, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's still aroundcomics.com.
Well, how long do you think it'll take before Sal and Chris are arguing with each other?
I don't know.
Or do they do that in the first episode?
I didn't listen very far because I can't listen to podcasts and work. So yeah. I get distracted.
Oh, that's so weird. Because that used to be what I did.
Listen to podcasts and work?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's why I listen to them.
I've said that since the beginning. I can't listen to them. I get distracted because I feel like I need to be paying attention to the podcast. For mm-hmm. some reason, that doesn't do that to me with movies. Like I can have a movie on and work and be fine, unless it's subtitled, in which case I can't. But
most of the time, whatever they're talking about on podcasts is bullshitty enough that I don't really feel like I have to pay attention.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I did want to take this opportunity.
I can never remember which is which.
Yeah, I wanted to take this opportunity to bring up the fact that since Around Comics is back, it's like old times, and we should probably go ahead and get another 24-hour podcast going.
You guys did that?
You should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. You scanned it in 600.
Just you.
No, not just
by yourself.
Thanks, man.
Believe me, if somehow it started happening, you would all get roped into it.
In a padded room.
Yeah, you would all get roped into it. At least partially.
Why do you think I want to do that?
I didn't say you wanted to do it. cha-cha-cha-cha. Anyway, so yeah, welcome back around, Comics. And thanks for writing, John.
Yeah, thanks. Well, welcome back, Cotter.
Right on. Any more emails?
No, that was it.
Okay. Hey, one's better than none.
What was this comic strip called?
Which comic strip?
Urban Animal.
Urban Animal, yeah. That's on Webtoons.
It is.
John Amore and Justin Jordan, and I don't know if anybody else is involved. But
are people making money on Webtoons?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
I guess so. I have somebody that gets a hold of me every now and then that's supposed to be working on a thing for Webtoons, and then they don't get in touch again for 6 months, and they get back in touch and say, okay, we're going again, and then they don't get in touch again for 6 months. So eventually I may actually be lettering something that's going to be on Webtoons. But I think, oh gosh, what's her last name? You know, Katie Cook. I think she's got a comic on Webtoons. Yeah,
she's a superstar on Webtoons.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's Line Webtoons, isn't it?
Line Webtoons is what they're called.
Yeah.
I don't know what the significance of that name is. But.
Yeah, I don't know either. But the address just is webtoons.com. So
mm-hmm.
In case anybody wants to go look for stuff there. You know, because reading comics is good. We like reading comics.
The other page is open. Thank you.
And I don't remember the name of Katie Cook's comic off the top of my head.
Nothing Special.
Nothing Special.
I think is what.
Oh, I thought you were ripping on it.
Oh. Yep,
I was.
Ho, ho, ho. But, right. Anyway. And they've got, because, you know, they've been around for a while, that Webtoons company, mm-hmm. site or whatever, but they seem like they've really blown up the past couple of years.
Yeah.
They spent a lot of money. My laptop bag is branded with Webtoons because they gave them away for free at a comic show that I was at.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Weird.
I cut off the big Webtoons tag now. Don't tell them.
Uh-oh.
It works really well.
That's good. All right, then. So I guess that's it for this week. Oh, wait a minute. There's stuff in stores. I forgot. Wednesday was yesterday. Does anybody have anything in stores? Any of y'all?
No,
I got nothing.
I am looking through the comic list. Looking at all these fun things. There's a lot of books that come out every week. People read these, all of these. I mean, somebody's reading these, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
Oh, yeah, I think, is it still going on? Challengers has their annual event sale thing going on right now, too, I think. Don't they?
It's over now.
Oh, it's already over?
You're over.
I went and got some funny.
Like, almost everything in that for sale photo was like, shit, I worked out.
Hey, Mike. Sean's what? Bragging.
It had like a revival.
Oh, that the had, Chicago one?
Had my Last State of Danger. It had like three other things. But it's just like junk that I worked on that are like, let's get rid of this shit.
He is.
They had my new.
Wait, sell it.
They had like a G&J hardcover in there, which is.
Yeah. Sean's bragging again.
It's old, so.
I thought that was going through today, though, because I thought the whole thing was I love you, but I've chosen comics Valentine's Day thing.
It ends today.
Oh, okay.
Could be.
Or maybe not. I don't know. Whatever. Like, I pay attention to anything. I don't know what I'm talking about half the time anyway. Or do I? Perhaps I secretly do.
I don't know.
I mean, sometimes I'm right about stuff.
It's not really difficult.
There's an Army of Darkness Bubba Hotep crossover. That's weird.
Just two Bruce Campbell's comics. Like, yeah. They did the two Kurt Russell comics.
Did they do a crossover of that, too?
It was Big Trouble in China meets Escape from New York or something.
Huh.
Two Kurt Russells in it.
Did they know they were Kurt Russells?
I didn't read it. I did a variant cover for it.
Huh. That's just a very strange sort of crossover. I mean, the only reason for it to be a crossover is because it's got the same people in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know how it works because obviously one was in the future and one wasn't.
Sometimes I I look at certain crossovers and I'm just like, why? You know? And I'm not picking on that one in particular, but some crossovers sort of make sense. Like when you had a Spider-Man X-Men crossover, right? You know, that sort of makes sense because sure they're bound to interact sooner or later, like in the world of Marvel or whatever, you know. But then you get weird shit like what was that in the 90s? You remember the X-Men Star Trek crossover?
That sounds great.
I don't remember that being very good.
Oh, X-Men Star Trek. Yeah.
Yeah, that was in the 90s, right? Like mid-90s, maybe?
Set phasers to SNCC.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that was the 90s.
I thought it was.
That was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think that was that long ago.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of something else then. I could have swore Star Trek had a crossover with a Marvel comic back in the 90s.
Maybe it was.
And it was something I didn't remember making much sense at the time. I don't know. Anyway, though, stuff like that, though, it just doesn't, it's a crossover just to be a crossover, I guess. Like, you know, everybody wanted, Terminator versus RoboCop, right? And that makes sense, because they're both, robots, right?
Kurt Russell's or Kurt Russell?
Yeah.
A character named Bones on the X-Men would be a very different character.
You think so?
Well, there's Marrow.
There's Marrow.
Yeah.
Everyone's favorite X-Man.
What is Marrow? What's the power for Marrow?
Bones. A lot of bones.
Yeah, bro, bones. Lots of bones.
Bones everywhere.
Oh, so it's... What was the...
Bones coming out of her skin and shit.
She could throw bones.
She threw bones.
It's mostly throw bones.
And her best friend was Maggot.
They're pointy bones.
So shouldn't they have named her Bones instead of Marrow? Because Marrow is more like the inside of what's in bones, right? It's not like she's just oozing the tasty crap from inside of bones.
Tasty crap.
Well, you know what I mean.
People do eat it.
I know people eat it.
It's like, yeah, they should have just called her Bones.
Take it up with creators.
What was the character? Wasn't there a character that, kept eating its own skin or something?
That was you.
Yeah, dude, you're not the X-Men.
No,
You need to stop that.
They would shed their skin and eat it or something?
There's a character named Skin.
What did they do?
He had too much skin.
Ew.
It was like... Well, who was the Morlock that could reshape skin that did the first... Caliban?
I think you're right.
Wait, I thought he could just track shit.
Oh, right.
He was like the albino white thing.
I don't know.
I thought he could like change people's. I thought he could like mold skin. I don't know. I thought he just could like track other mutants.
Wait.
What's happened to Leech and Ari? Where are they at?
Leech was the one that could nullify powers, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What could Artie do?
Be scared.
I think Artie just kept people under control, right? Or kept people calm or something like that?
Oh, I think, yeah, it was something like that. Do you think Leech ever hung out with Maggot?
What did Maggot do?
Maggot had two sentient stomach slugs that were like his out. It was like his stomach, but on the outside.
Oh, okay. What did they do, though?
They could, like, eat shit.
Oh.
Is that all he did?
Yeah.
Was just eat shit?
I think so.
That's weird.
Maggot sucks.
How dare you?
Was Maggot...
Did people like him?
I like that run.
Okay, so Maggot was an X-Man?
Yeah.
What?
For like 5 minutes.
For like 5 years.
Not for 5 years.
Yes.
It wasn't for 5 years.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Marrow, Maggot.
No. That never happened.
Cecilia Reyes? She
no.
See, this just seems like they were trying to do too many X-books, and they were coming up with really bad characters to flesh out the teams or something.
Yeah, that's what they were doing.
Yeah,
that was
what they were doing. That was good run, guys.
Because, yeah, I mean, X-Men like that, those are like less than Morlock level.
Mutants. I'd say they're exactly Morlock level.
They're kind of crappier than Morlocks. I mean, the person with gut stomach or stomach slugs that just eats stuff. I mean, that's pretty lame.
They're post Generation X, right? Like after Chamber and
kind of around the same time, actually, in a weird way. Because Joe Matt was drawing it.
Yeah.
Huh. What was their book?
X-Men.
Oh, so they were just regular title X-Men. Okay.
This when, like, the familiar X-Men were all just teachers.
Huh. This is what continuity gets us. Like, you know, back in the old days, people could just stay the same age for, like, 30, 40 years, and you never had to have them, like, get old and bring in new people.
You know, book was good. It's that Wolverine and the X-Men book.
Yeah. That was great. Was that Bandana Wolverine?
No. It was just like Wolverine was running the school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was good. I remember reading that for a year or two, I think.
All those Nightcrawler things, those vamps.
And they're like...
What?
All these misadventures kept coming up, like the there was a sentient statue or something in there, or something that lived under the ground.
The whole school grounds was alive.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It was like a weird mutant or something.
It was some sort of alien or something, wasn't it?
Oh, I think you might be right. Yeah.
And it like lived in under the grounds, but it was like so big. It was like a big organism. Like.
Well, they like got it to protect the school, so like if stuff would attack, it would like help save them, right?
Yeah. And it had a Quentin something, or Quentin Quagmire? Not Quentin Quagmire.
Yeah, Quentin. He was from New X-Men originally.
Yeah. I remember liking that one too. It was a good run.
That's still my favorite X-Men book.
It had humor. The art was good. Yeah, dug that. Gosh, that was like 6-7 years ago now, wasn't it?
Oh, like
10,
15.
Wow. Crazy. Hey, we talked about comics today. That's pretty cool. I didn't see a whole lot going on as far as related to us coming out this week in comics type stuff, but I did see from Oni Press, the Damned Volume 3 trade paperback is in stores. I lettered that's some of that, most of that.
Noise.
I think some of that was reprint material. I don't remember, but anyway, yeah, that's in stores. Trade. Paperback. Good stuff. We like it. And I don't know. I guess that's it for this week. So, does anybody, you know, got anything else they want to talk about? No?
No.
Okay. Well, in that case, you can reach us at currentcast.com, currentcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is IHateMike.com. I don't even know why I bother telling people that. Do you update your website, Mike?
Not really.
Okay. Battlepug is back in production again, but it's still undefined as when it's coming out. But you can still reap the original Battlepug at battlepug.com.
Yeah.
Or you can buy the Compugdium.
Yeah, the Compugdium is in stores. It makes a great gift.
It does make a great gift.
It's an excellent Valentine's Day gift.
If you're people like pugs.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, it might even, if people don't really particularly like pugs, they might still like the book. It makes a thoughtful gift.
It is a thoughtful gift. It's very thoughtful of me to make it for you.
Exactly. Please buy his comic. Create four people. Anyway. All right, then. Well, we'll catch you all next week, and have a good and safe weekend.
Bye.